In Perek Memches, in chapter 48, the Alter Rebbe, continuing on the theme of the reciprocal love, that when God shows His love in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the daily Yetzias Mitzrayim, on a spiritual level, where every person experiences his spiritual Yetzias Mitzrayim, that this has to bring out within us a reciprocal love. In order to understand what kind of love this is, and what kind of love we reciprocate with, the Alter Rebbe says that in order for the Eibishter to create the world, a finite world, in order that we should be able to do mitzvahs, which is the whole purpose of creation, in order to do that, He had to put aside, He had to restrict His infinite light and make it possible for a finite world to exist. And this is supposed to arouse an equal and similar love within us, that we put aside those things that are pleasant to us and those things that come natural to us, and do what is necessary in order to fulfill God's purpose and God's kavana in the creation. What is this tzimtzum? What is this putting aside of the infinite of the Ein Sof? So the Alter Rebbe begins to explain that in the world itself, that is, the godliness that is revealed to the world, is a very small and very finite amount of godliness. The infinite light, the Ein Sof, is not revealed within the world, but rather is concealed in the world. The part of the part of godliness that is revealed in the world, that's called hislapshus. The part that is clothed in the world is the part that is revealed. The part that is not revealed is called seviv umakif milmaila, that it surrounds and encircles the world from above. And here the Alter Rebbe explains that this doesn't mean that the light that surrounds the world but doesn't clothe itself within the world, this doesn't mean that the infinite light remains outside the world. Usually when we say that something surrounds another, it means that it stays apart from it, above it, and surrounds it, and has an influence on it only from a distance. But here, when we say that the Ein Sof surrounds the world from above, it can't mean that it stays outside the world and influences it only from a distance, because then we're attributing a limitation to the Ein Sof, that He exists in one place but not in another, that He exists outside the world but not inside the world. So the truth is that the Ein Sof exists everywhere. The Eir Ein Sof, not just God's essence, but this light, this Ein Sof light, exists everywhere, even in the details of the world, and yet it is called Makif, it is called Seviv, and that it surrounds the world, but not clothed in the world, only from the perspective of the world. From God's perspective, the light is everywhere, reaches everywhere. But from the perspective of the world, since the world does not intimately appreciate and experience this earth in a revealed way, therefore to the world, from the perspective of the world, the infinite earth remains distant and aloof, or above. But as far as the light is concerned, it permeates and is involved and affects not only a general condition in the world from a distance, but into the details of the world and from close up. Unlike in the physical world, where one thing, when it is bigger than another, and it stays apart from the other because the smaller thing can't contain the bigger, then there's a limit, there's a loss, both to the lower condition as well as to the higher. The lower condition loses an experience or a part of the higher condition, but the higher condition is also limited and restricted to where it can go. We say it has to remain high, it can't come down into the lower parts of the world. But with God, that is not the case. The Ein Sof light that comes from God is both high and low. It comes down into the details of the world as well. Only it's not revealed to the world, and so there's a loss only on the part of the world, but not on the part of the higher power. For this, the Alter Rebbe gives an example, a mashal, in Perek Memches, which is today's Shir, the 16th of Iyar. It's on Daf Samaches Amud Aleph, page 254. It's in the middle of the page. And the line begins, Veha Mashal. The Alter Rebbe wants to give a mashal, how can it be that something should be present in the details of the lower condition of the lower thing, and yet the lower thing should not feel it. If the higher thing stays apart and distant, then we understand why the lower thing doesn't feel it. But if we're saying that the higher, the Eirin Seif, fills all the world, including the details and the lower details of the world, then how is it that the world doesn't feel it? So the Alter Rebbe says, V'hamoshul bazeh, a case in point, this is not an analogy, moshul. But a detail of the subject itself. So a case in point is, in the Ha'oretz HaLezu HaGashmiz, let's take this earth, the physical world. Af Shemalei Kol Ha'oretz Kvedei. On the one hand, we say that the world is filled with God's with Kvedei, which is the infinite light, the Eir Ein Seif, V'hainu Eir Ein Seif Baruch Hu, which means the infinite light, because it says, Haloyes HaShemayim V'Soretz Ani Mole Nu'um Hashem. What fills the world? God says, I fill the world. I has to mean the infinite light, not that light which has been tampered with, that has been restricted and affected by the Tzimtzum. That wouldn't be called Ani. So it says, Ani Mole, which has to be a reference to the Eir Ein Seif, to the infinite light. And it says, Mole, not that I affect the world from a distance, but I fill it. Filling the world means all the way through and through, down to the details. Af al pikein ein mislabish betecha bebechinas gili hashpo. At the same time, God is not revealed in his hashpo. In other words, as he is affecting the world and filling the world, he is not revealed to the world. Rakhay is ma'at mize'ei, other than a very little bit amount of life. On the level of the Deimim and the Tzemeyach alone. Since we're talking about the physical world, we're talking about the lower parts of the world, the Deimim and the Tzemeyach. So only a very limited amount of light is revealed to the condition, to the level of Deimim and Tzemeyach, but the infinite light, which is very much present, even in the Deimim and Tzemeyach, is not revealed to the Deimim and Tzemeyach. The whole Eirin Seif Baruch. And all the infinite light, which is in the world, which fills the world, Nikra Seviv Aleha, is called a surrounding light, Afshehu Betecha Mamash. Even though this light that we're describing as surrounding the world is really within the world itself, literally. Why then is it called Seviv? Because the effect that this light is having in the world and in all parts of the world is not revealed and is not experienced by the world, is not perceived by the world. The effect that this Eirin Seif has is an effect that remains concealed. And any influence, any effect that is hidden from the object that is being affected is nikro makif milmailo, is called surrounding from above. And although surrounding from above seems to be a contradiction in terms, surrounding means that you encircle the thing from all sides. Above means that you're only in one direction, above the thing. So makif milmailo means here that the Eirin Seif surrounds the world because it is above it. Not that it surrounds it and stays above it. It surrounds it because it is higher than it. Ki alma diskasya hulamayla b'madregam alma disgalya. Because the concealed world is a higher level than the revealed world. And therefore, because it is too high for the revealed world, that's why it does not reveal itself into the world. But that doesn't mean that it isn't present and effective within the world. But now, to bring it down to our intelligence, to make it more to make it more understandable, we'll understand it. B'derech moshel. K'moy odom shemetzaya b'dayte eze davar shero eshereya. When a person imagines in his mind some image or some scene that he saw or is seeing, hine av shekol guf etzem hadavar hahu v'gabe v'teiche v'teiche kulei mitzuyer b'dayte machshavtei. Although the whole thing, that which he is seeing and which he had seen and he is now picturing in his mind, all the details, the outside, the inside, and the inner inside, all of it is imagined. All of it is pictured in his mind. In other words, it encompasses all the details, the image that he has, and the picture that he has includes all the details. Mipnei shera'ohu ei kulei, ei shera'ehu, either because he saw it or because he is seeing it. So he knows all the details and he can imagine and picture all the details. Hinei nikras daitei makefes hadavarahu kulei. We would then describe his mind as surrounding and encompassing the entire object. V'hadover hahu, and the object which he is picturing, we would describe that as being mukav bedaitei umachshavtei, as being absorbed, enveloped in the person's mind and in his thought. Rak she'enei mukav bepeil mamosh, only it is not literally absorbed or literally surrounded by the mind. Rak bedimyon machsheves ha'odam v'daitei. The object is not physically, literally, surrounded by the mind. It is only the image of the object that is encompassed and surrounded by the mind and the thought of the person. The fact that it might appear to the person as if he is surrounding the object itself, that's only an imaginary thing. In fact, what he is surrounding and what he is encompassing in his mind is the image of the thing. But what we see here is that when a person imagines a given item, he doesn't imagine it only from a general and overall view. He can imagine all the details and the details of the details down to the very minutest item, the very minutest part of this object. And yet, this image that the person has in his mind of the object is called makif. The mind is encompassing the object, but is not clothed within the object. Even though the view and the image and the picture that the person has is not a general picture, but a very detailed picture. The same is true also with the Eir Ein Sof, that the Eir Ein Sof encompasses, affects, and influences even the minutest details of the world. God's awareness of the world, God's involvement with the world, even on the level of the Eir Ein Sof, is a very thorough and a very detailed and a very permeating light, and yet it is called makif. Why? Because we see in the imagination of the person and in the picture that the person has of an object that he permeates the object down to its minutest detail, and yet the object is not affected at all. Visibly, the object does not feel this presence or this connection or devotion that the person has in his mind to the object. The only difference is that in the person, in the human being, the object is not really affected at all and can't be by the person's thought. Whereas with God, God's thought is not like our thought, and therefore in his thought, when he thinks of an object in all of its details, so he's affecting the object in all of its details and bringing about its very existence, as he will soon say. But what we have from the example is that there can be a thorough permeating awareness on the part of the person while that whole thing remains unknown to the object which is being studied and being pictured in the person's mind. So in our mind, when a human being pictures something, he doesn't really affect that something. He affects only, he's in contact only with the image of the thing, but not the thing itself, the physical substance of the thing. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but with God, d'chsiv beki le'machshavei machshavei seichem, concerning whom it says that his thoughts, my thoughts, are not your thoughts. Harei machshavte v'daite, God's thought and God's mind, sheyedei yakol hanevroim, in that he knows all of creation, all creations, this awareness that God has of creation, makefes kol nivra v'nivra, it surrounds every created being, mereshe v'ad tachtisei, from his head down to the, from the head to the, down to the bottom of it, v'teiche v'teich teiche, and permeates through and through, hakel b'pel mamish, unlike with the human being, where the human being can permeate down to the details of the object in his mind and picture all the details, but not affect the physical part of that object, the physical existence of the object, where with God, when God knows an object, when God thinks of an object, this affects the very existence of that object. That's how it comes into existence. And although the truth is that God's speech is also unlike our speech, and everything about God is different from the way it is by us, yet the pasuk says it concerning God's thought. And the reason is because in speech there is at least some similarity between our speech and God's speech, because in our speech we affect other people. And that's basically the difference between thought and speech, in that speech is for other people, it affects other people. When I speak to somebody, it has an effect on that person, whereas my thoughts don't affect other people. God's speech is also for the purpose of affecting, and although I can't create with my speech, certainly not out of nothing, yesh ma'ayin, whereas God's speech creates out of nothing, so obviously it goes without saying that God's speech is infinitely more powerful and greater in its effect than mine. But the point is that speech, whether it's a human speech or divine speech, have something in common, and that is that they affect the outside. And so, granted that the degree of the effect will vary infinitely, to the point where we have to say lahavdil between human speech and God's speech, but the notion of speech itself is similar in both cases. Whereas machshava, here it's not just a question of degree. It's not a question of the Eibishter's machshava having a much greater effect than the human machshava. The human machshava, by its very nature, is not meant to have an effect. Human machshava is meant only for the person himself. It's an internal process, and is not intended to have an effect on the outside. And that's why the pasuk emphasizes that le'machshavei seichem, that it's God's thought that is radically different from human thought, because they don't even have the same notion. It's not just a question of degree, it's a completely different thing. The Eibishter's machshava creates, and our machshava remains within ourselves, within us. So what we see from this is that although the world is too low to be able to experience and be aware of the infinite light of the Eir Ein Seif, which is present within it, yet the Eir Ein Seif makes itself present within it. The Eir Ein Seif does not remain distant and does not surround the world from the outside, not physically, of course, but even on the level, on the spiritual level, it doesn't remain a level higher. It doesn't remain removed from the world, but permeates into the world and fills every detail of the world and is involved in the creation and the existence of the individual detail of every creature, of every creation. And yet, because the creation is too low to perceive it, it remains hidden from the creation. And as the Alter Rebbe will say later on in the Perek, in tomorrow's Shiur, that in fact, the creation, Yesh Ma'ayin, is primarily not from the finite, Eir HaMemala, but rather from the Eir HaSeiver, from the light that is called Ein Seif. Today's Hayem Yem, the 16th of Iyar, and the 31st day of the Emer, the Rebbe writes that there was a chassid of Elia Beller, chassid of the Rebbe Marash, who was an average person, average in his learning and in his talents. The Rebbe once said to him in Yechidus, he said, Elia, I'm jealous of you, because you travel to various markets and you meet many people. And in the middle of a business discussion, you get onto the topic of some Jewish idea or a statement from Ein Yankiv, etc., and you inspire the other person to learn Nigla or Hasidus. And this causes a simcha in heaven. And God rewards such trade, such business, with a bracha for children, health, and for panasa. And the larger the market, the more work there is. And the more work there is, the greater is the parnasa that you earn.